So we are, I forgot an announcement, actually a very important announcement. Congratulations to the graduates who are going to be graduating soon. I don't want to forget. So how many graduates do we have in here? I'm not a graduate. I'm just raising my hand to help you. Awesome. Way to go. Well, guys, way to get past high school and now to move on with your life. No, I'm just kidding. but for real. June the 2nd, we're going to have like a graduation celebration on Sunday. So if you come to our service here normally on Sunday, make sure you're there. We want to honor you guys as you guys step into another season, a different season of life. And we definitely want to, oh yeah, you do need to sign up. So if you could sign up Sunday, or if you want to let me know, I can put your name down and we'll go from there. So very cool. For those of you who don't know, we just started a series last 30 seconds ago called Q&A. So this is a new series about what we did last week. We took like a survey of questions from you guys, questions you have about life, anything you wanted to ask about life, about faith, about God, really about anything. And we asked you guys to submit those questions last week, and you did that, and thank you. And so this week we'll start by looking at one or two of those questions. Tonight we've got two of them we're going to look at, and we're going to talk about them, that you have as part of the new series we're calling Q&A. Okay, so it kind of gives you a part in it. You get to like invest in some of the topic and content of what's happening. So basically, let's get started. So the first question we're going to look at is this one here. How do I balance sports and my relationship with God? A great question, right? A very valid question. And this can be a hard one to answer sometimes. And it's not that the answer is hard, but living out the answer can be hard, you know. So how many of you guys are involved in some kind of athletic sports or something like that, right? Okay, so imagine you have, this is to answer this question, how do I balance sports and my relationship with God? Now, let me just preface anything I'm going to answer by saying that I'm going to try to take this from a biblical perspective, okay? And we have so many different worldviews that we carry just from the experiences of life, from what we are used to, that we carry those things with us from the different circumstances that we've been involved in, the influences in our life, whether those things we had control of or not. And so what we want to try to do is kind of shift any of that might not be necessarily focused on what God has in mind and put that back toward the biblical perspective that he's laid out in his word. And what's really cool about any question that you ask, seeking that out with the Lord, he will show you an answer. And in many, many cases, in every case you can find an answer, but in many cases you can go right to the Word and find the answer. Even some of the more modern questions that seem like they're irrelevant now as opposed to when the Bible was written. But there's always a spiritual side to things. A lot of the questions we have to do with the battles that we have in our life, a lot of things that we're struggling with or questioning internally, and those things affect our spirit. And so to answer spiritual questions, you have to give a spiritual response, right? And God has provided that in his word. So I want to just preface whatever we say before we move on, that's how we're going to be answering these questions as best we can based on that. And if at the end you still don't understand what's going on, come and talk to one of us that you're comfortable with, one of the leaders in this room. We want to walk you down that road and help you find some answers in those areas. And if we can't find the answers, we're going to try to point you in the right direction, okay? Okay, so imagine you have a set of scales, right? That was your imagination just there. So you got God on one side and sports on the other, okay? So the question is, how do I balance sports and my relationship with God? All right, so let's look at a few ways to answer this one. First thing is to understand this. We give the most time, the most attention, the most of our efforts, of investment of our life to the things that matter to us the most, okay? We give the most effort to those things. Those things that are most important to us, we put the most emphasis on. That is actually a biblical principle. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We all have things that are important to us that we give our attention to, right? More attention than others, right? And having things that are important to us is not a sin, okay? So that's not a sin. But it's whenever those things basically tie you to this earth so much that you forsake your relationship with God is when it becomes a problem, okay? So what is more important, your relationship with God or being an athlete? You have to reframe this question sometimes in order to answer the question. And if you say the most important thing to you is being an athlete, then that will dictate how you live your life. Everything that you do will be about achieving and goals and trophies and this and that and rewards and medals and getting better and doing better. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but if that is the most important thing in your life, then that is the only thing you will focus on, and that is the thing that you will come back to always. And if you say that the most important thing is your relationship with God, then everything you do should put God at the center, right? He should lead your life. So do you live your life through, another question, do you live your life through the filter of being an athlete, or do you live your life through the filter of who God says you are, okay? You'll have to answer that question first, really, to answer this question. Now, can you have a relationship with God and still play sports? Well, of course you can. Many people do that, and you know people who do that, who have a relationship with God, who play sports. There are many professional athletes who do as well, that you hear their testimony. How many of you guys know an athlete who is a Christian, who is a very outspoken Christian, right? Tebow, you guys know, right? Watt. So I think this question, at least the way it's being asked, is assuming either it's one way or the other. Like, it's either God or sports. Like, you'd have to give one of them up completely over the other, you know? And you can't have both. It's almost like, how do I balance sports and relationship? I want God and sports to be equal. Well, that can be not true. That can't happen. It's either one or the other, right? So let's take a look at the question again. The question again is, how do I balance sports and my relationship with God? Okay, what about this? I'm just trying to help you think this through. It's why I'm asking you this question. What if you asked yourself the question, if my relationship with God is the most important thing, you don't ask yourself this question, if my relationship with God is the most important thing, can my athletic life and my relationship with God be in harmony with one another? Okay? Because I think that's possible. Okay. Here's where it starts, though. It begins with your identity, who you see yourself as. And there's really only one way to do that, to succeed, okay? To be able to live, to be able to have the harmonious relationship between sports and your relationship with God. Is your identity and your self-worth, is that wrapped up in the sport you play, in the athlete that you say you are, that you think you are, you know? Is it in being an athlete, or is your identity in who God says you are? And that goes back to the same question. I think sports are great. They're fun to watch. It's fun to play a sport. I played baseball in high school, had a lot of fun, really liked it. And there isn't anything inherently wrong with sports, okay? But there is something wrong, however, when sports or being an athlete or anything becomes an idol. What's an idol? Well, it's something that you put before God. That's the way we see an idol, okay, biblical perspective. We're going back to that. Anything that comes before God is an idol, and that is anything. So if you just take a few moments, you can probably think of things that you have put before God. I can, okay? I sure can, and we all do it. So look around, and you will see a lot of people who have allowed their athletic performance to become their idol. And not just that, you'll see that they've even, in some cases, elevated themselves to the place of the idol because of their abilities. Whenever you're good at something and you know it and you elevate yourself in that way, and everything around your athleticism is about you and that's all you think about, that's when things can get dicey and get dangerous and get way out of balance. And we're talking about the balance, right? So many athletes think it's about them. There are some, obviously, that don't, but there's a lot who do. And athletics and sports can very easily be made to be about you and your achievement and what you have done. And anytime it's about you and there's so much focus on you, what do you think that does to God? It takes the focus off God if you're not pointing back to Him in some way, okay? So, again, I'm not saying sports are bad. Let me just say that. So it basically takes God away from the equation and puts you on the throne. The throne of you, the throne of your talents, the throne of your achievements. Look what I have done, you know. And honestly, guys, who created the world? Who created us and gave us breath? We couldn't do anything without God, okay? He has set things in motion that we have absolutely no control of, nor do we have any kind of influence over, except that we believe in what he says in his word, and we live out our lives in that way. Okay, the thing is, we can be tempted to think about our gifts, you know, any kind of gift that we have, as really just kind of there for us, you know, as part of who we are. I was born with it. I'm gifted. I'm born gifted. How many of you know somebody who's born gifted? They're just born gifted, you know. And so it's all about them. Instead, we really should think about those gifts as a part of how good God is. You know, he has blessed us with those gifts. And what do you do if you really, really, really want something? Like you've really, really wanted it for a long time, and it's something big, it's a big deal, right? And maybe some of you have experienced this. And somebody gets that thing for you. Maybe it's a car, maybe it's a phone that you wanted, maybe it's some kind of a special clothing or something that you've really wanted, some shoes or a trip, whatever it is. What's the first thing you do when you get that? You thank the junk out of that person, right? Like, you're so thankful. You're like, man, oh, I can't believe this. Ah. You know, you're so excited. And you go tell people about it. And so the thing is, that is how it works with God and the gifts and the talents that we have. We don't have them except that he gave them to us, okay? And so we should be thankful. When we are able to excel in those things, it doesn't point it back to us. We need to point everything back to God to give him glory. And that's really what this is about. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Whether you eat or drink or play sports or watch sports or you're an artist or you flip burgers, whatever it is, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, okay? The gospel and giving God glory should not be kept out of any part of society. It should be in every part of society. It should be occupying all areas of society, including sports. And so this is very hard, I think, for people nowadays to understand. And so I want you to understand that when you leave here, you're not unchurchy. You know what I mean? You're not like, you're no longer a Christian. It's not that you're no longer a Christian and you can just do whatever. You're taking Christ with you wherever you go. That relationship that you have with God should influence every decision you make. It should influence everything that you say or do. It should influence the choices we make. And when you're playing sports, it should influence how you respond to your teammates, for example. It should influence how you respond to victory in sports and that sort of thing as well. So whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23 through 24, similar thing. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It's whenever we lose sight of who we serve that we lose the balance, that balance that we're talking about, of whatever we're doing, and then jeopardize our growth with God. Okay, you're not going to jeopardize your relationship with God if you've made a decision to follow him. He still loves you. He still accepts you as you are. But we do jeopardize our growth with him. And so it's only whenever it is that what you're doing is in harmony with your relationship with God that it works. Okay, it has to be in harmony with your relationship with God. Put him first. And all that other stuff will fall into place. That's in the Bible as well. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, including the desires of your heart, including your athletic abilities and the sports you play and the things you're involved in. Put him first. If you're struggling in this area, come talk to me or to one of the other leaders in this room. We want to help you. We're for you, remember? You belong here. We're for you. So let's not do this alone. We want to help you if it's an area that you struggle with. And, you know, struggles are just part of life. We have to, at some point, talk it out. We have struggles that we have to sometime, at some point in our life, face. And we have to talk those. We have a choice to talk those things out or keep them buried in us. And it just makes it worse and worse. And we have to talk about those things. It's important. Okay? So, to the best of my ability, that was the answer to the how do you balance sports and your relationship with God question. And so that was the first question. So, we'll probably answer at least a couple of questions each week. So, here's the next question that was asked. And this is kind of a tricky one. Why do bad things happen to good people? So this one is it's a little tricky, right? How many of you have ever heard this question being asked or know someone who's asked this? Maybe you've asked the question yourself. I think everybody can raise every hand in this room is up. So many people have asked this question, and I have heard it asked many times myself. I think another question that goes along with it might be, if God is a good God, you heard this one, If God is a good God, why does he allow bad things to happen to good people or bad things to happen in general? Okay. Similar question, but either way, let's take a look at this important question that we need to know how to answer, okay? Because this is a very common question, as we can see, but we need to know how to answer this question the right way. This might sting a little, but the first thing that we need to understand is this. There are no good people, okay? So why do bad things happen to good people? The question in and of itself assumes that people are good. People are good, right? Are we good? Are we good? So, and don't get me wrong, there are many people I know, people in my family, my friends, who do good things, who are part of good things, who have goodness in their heart. But, and you yourself have done good things. I've actually done good things. But to classify someone as good is another thing altogether, if we believe what the Bible says about it, if we believe God's standard for it. So let's take a look at this. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, and this dude runs up to him, kneels down, and asks this question. He says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answers this important question. He says, in the next verse, he says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Okay? One thing you can be sure of is that because of God's goodness, and only he is good, he will make sure that justice is done. Okay, that is what he is about. Justice is the quality of being just or right or righteous and administering the proper punishment or reward, depending on what you're dealing with. And if God gave us true justice right now, we would all be doomed to hell. And we would deserve it, every bit of it, because of what we deserve. But that's the cool thing about his grace and his mercy, right? We don't deserve to live the life that we can live right now, to live in the freedom that he's given us, but he gave it to us anyway. He gave it to us as a gift. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 this. It says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. How many of you have stolen a paperclip? Somebody stolen a pen? Something like that. Something's happened. No matter how small, how large, how many of you robbed a bank? I mean, come on. Big or small, God is the standard for righteousness, okay? And all of us have fallen short of meeting that standard. His standard is perfect, okay? That's what it says when it says, it's what it means when it says fallen short of the glory of God, the goodness of God. God sees sin as sin, no matter how small or big. To him, it's just filthy, okay? We classify sins. We're really good at it. Nah, big sinner over here. White lie. You know, it's like, but it's the same to God, you know? And so we fall short of that standard. So there are no good people that bad things happen to by God's standard, by the word, okay? But this is really cool because there's a better question to ask that goes right along with this. A better question to ask would be, why does God allow good things to happen to bad people? Think about that. And when we answer that question, that's where the beauty of God's grace and his love comes in. Okay, so let's look at it. A couple more chapters further in Romans, Paul writes this. He says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." That's Romans 5:8. In spite of our sinful nature, in spite of us not being good, in spite of our sin, God had a plan. So, what happened? All right, he sent his son, Christ. Jesus, he died for us. He took the penalty for our sins on the cross to save us from perishing. Okay? That's what he did. And that was that beautiful exchange that he did. And so let's talk about what that means for us. What does that mean for us? Oftentimes there are things that that can and will happen to us that we simply cannot understand. And so it begs us to ask the question, why? Why did this happen? Why did this bad thing happen? Why did I lose this person? You know, why did this happen? Why was I born into these circumstances? Why do I have to deal with this? Why? Or maybe we blame God. You know, maybe we blame him. God isn't about bringing evil to us, you know. God is about blessing us and giving us good things. The reason bad things happen in the world is because the world's been broken since the very beginning when Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden sinned. Okay, it's been broken since then. Their disobedience to God led to the brokenness that we see today, and that's just how it was set up. God said, hey, don't eat from this tree. They ate from the tree. They disobeyed. From then on, there was death and sin. It compounded, and there was killing, and it just got worse, and it's just what it is today. But God had a plan, and so we were all born into that sin. We didn't have a choice, but that doesn't mean God has left us hanging. Okay, so what does that mean for us? Well, instead of doubting God's goodness in suffering, we should trust in God's ultimate plan and in His goodness. That's all we have to do. When we trust in Him, He has taken care of that already. Okay, and He'll bring us through those circumstances. Even when we don't understand what's going around on around us, God is trustworthy. And that's the whole part of the trust, is that we have to set aside our own doubts and fears and put our trust in Him. That's what it means, put your trust in the Lord, that you believe what He did for you, and that you believe that He's going to heal you. And the fact that we're here now in this crazy life, in this crazy world, in the crazy circumstances that are here, including when bad things happen to good people, or good things happen to bad people, and it seems unjust, unfair. But when all this crazy stuff is happening, the fact that we're here now is proof that God loves mankind and wants to deliver all of us, okay? And so He sent His Son, like we talked about, His Son Jesus, to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sin, and then to show us how to live. He showed us how to live while He was here. He was very much man. He was also God, but He was very much man while He was here on earth. I mean, He suffered a gruesome, the most awful death, crucifixion, okay? Very much man, had the very same temptations, emotions, and things that we have to deal with, but He did not sin. And that is why He was able to and worthy to take our place by dying. In the Old Testament, and I've shared this with you before, but if you haven't heard this before, in the Old Testament, whenever they would have to sacrifice a lamb for their sins, and the lamb would have to be perfect and spotless. It had to be the best out of their flock, and they'd have to bring it in, they put it on the altar, they'd slit its throat, and they'd burn it on the altar, okay? And that would be their penance for their sin. That would be how they had to pay for their sin, rather. So when Christ came, having no sin, being tempted, just being in the world like the rest of us, He was that perfect, spotless lamb. And sometimes you'll hear Him referred to as the Lamb of God. Well, that's what that means. He was perfect. He was blameless. He was spotless. But He took our place, you know. And then they no longer had to sacrifice lambs for ever, you know. So He's set a new standard. This is how it works. This is the system. This is how we've done it. You know, you can have a relationship with God now. He bridged that gap, okay. So He sent us His Son to show us how to live. He gave us a way to be a part of that. And now you and I are in place here, really now, to do two things. To know God, and then to make Him known. We know God by studying His Word, by finding out what the Bible has to say about these issues. When we have these questions, we can go to the Bible. If you have a Bible that you can't understand, get one that you can understand. Or come to us, and we will find what you can understand. We found a really cool Bible here this week. And it's a really neat Bible for... if it's hard to understand, like I like it, you know, I don't want to read a Bible that's hard to understand. So it's really a great Bible to walk you through different questions and things like that. And so if you don't have a Bible that you can understand, you can also find one on your phone. You know, they have reading plans and things like that and different versions that you can find. But anyway, He gave us a way to be a part of that, okay? And so we're here to make Him known, which is... or to know Him, which is studying His Word, knowing what He says about things, and then to make Him known. And that is living out our life the way He had us has instructed us to live it out in His Word. So we should be in the business of pointing people back to God, back to Jesus and what He's already done for us and His goodness. Our job isn't to doubt God. Our job is to trust Him and to do whatever He tells us. So to answer the question of why do bad things happen to good people, it really only happened once. Jesus volunteered, you know. He was good. It only happened once. And it's in His goodness that He loved us enough to die for us, taking the punishment that we deserved on the cross for our sins.